What can you do to repair the damage? That's what a Seattle artist tackled when she created a website called Reparations. It's not reparations for slavery. Okay, that's a lot for a website. This was about connecting people by inviting people of color to ask for what they need, to feel better, to be happier, to be more productive. And she invited white people to meet those needs. Some people were skeptical of the experiment, including Reagan Jackson, a Seattle artist, teacher, and a columnist for the Seattle Globalist, which is where she wrote about her experience with the Reparations Project.
Our country, it's like this war-torn nation. We are all kind of just in shock and just hurt. And there's a lot of people who are just walking around grieving of all ethnic persuasion. And so what she did is she said, okay, I know you're hurting. And some of you who are hurting actually have some needs based on systemic injustices that have happened that are still continuing to happen every day. And some of you have some privileges that you might be able to like leverage those to help the people who are in need.
But your first response was, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, growing up as a black woman here in the United States, I have learned repeatedly that if I want something, I need to go get it. The idea for me of asking other people for help, it's nice in theory. Like, it's something I would advise somebody else to do.
It's a great thing for someone else.
Yeah, like, go ask somebody for help. Ask for what you need. But when it comes down to, like, my personal needs, I don't want to be getting charity. Like, I have a job. You know, I can live my life. I can do these things on my own. So what Natasha did that I found really interesting was she said, okay, what are your needs? So yes, my initial response was, nah, I don't know. That's not who I am.
And you're barely bringing race into it. I mean, there's a lot that goes into why it's hard to ask for something and meet with a stranger and all that. But Natasha was also bringing race into it at the same time.
Well, absolutely. And there are intersectionalities at play. I don't know how I would feel about this if I were a black man. I don't know how I would feel about this if I were any other identity. But for me, like, it felt disquieting. But then within that, I saw that there was an opportunity because I was glued
to Facebook.
Oh, yeah. I had to watch. I had to see who's giving what and, you know, and who was receiving. And I'm having this experience of, wow, people are really taking this seriously. Because I, knowing her sense of humor, I'm like, oh, this is funny. This is a living, breathing art project. And she was just trying to get a reaction out of people. But the invitation was very simple and very clear and very warm. And it was inviting connection and warmth. And so as I saw more and more interactions of people who were actually willing to share their stories and say, hey, I'm a single mom and I just need groceries this month, or I need a kidney, you know, whatever. Like, there's varying levels. And then I'm seeing the white people responding with offers saying, hey, I may not be able to fund your vacation, but I can help you get this job. Or I can look at your resume and, you know, help you write a compelling cover letter that will help you get the resources that you need. I found it to be very touching to a point where I thought, okay, maybe there's something to this. So I decided to try.
What did you try?
Well, I thought a lot about what I would feel comfortable asking for, because, of course, I'm like, well, I can ask for $100 million. Like, that'd be great. I'd love that. But then I thought, would I take $100 million from somebody? I like to think that I would, but no, I wouldn't do that. So I thought of what could I actually legitimately accept and what would go towards my healing. I'm an artist. I love painting. I love playing with art. And it's something that I haven't had a lot of time to do lately. So I thought, okay, I'm going to ask for the gift of art. So I asked for a $100 gift certificate to Michael's.
Before I get to the answer that came, do you mind if I ask you about why you needed healing?
In this particular moment, watching Philando Castile get shot for no reason, after watching everyone else get shot for no reason, for like selling cigarettes, selling CDs, driving with a broken taillight, are any of these punishable by death? I've just been having, over the last several years, maybe over the course of a lifetime, this continuous revelation that I live in a country where it's totally okay to kill me. Like, if I leave KUOW right now and I go down the Ave and I get in my car, a police officer could pull me over and kill me. And then the next thing that's going to happen is he or she gets a paid vacation. Love that. And, you know, while my family's totally destroyed and I don't get to live anymore. And then that's it. There's no justice. We've been told repeatedly that for whatever reason, even though murder is illegal, this doesn't constitute murder because they didn't mean it. It was an accident. Yeah, I need some healing from that. It's hard to get up in the morning and think about these things. And this is where I live. And this is where I'm from.
And you felt like art can be a little part of that healing.
I thought, what would make me feel immediately better? I could go home. I could have a nice cup of tea. And I could just paint and zone out. Maybe just for an hour. That would be something.
And somebody answered you.
Two people, in fact. The first person who answered me is a woman who lives in Colorado. And she wrote to me that she's an artist as well. And that she couldn't afford to send me the gift certificate, but that she had some extra paint and some glitter. And she would be happy to send me a care package. And she also sent a piece of her own art, which is, you know, really sweet. The second person who answered me is here in Seattle. And this is a bit more unexpected because I already, you know, my request was answered as far as I was concerned. So she contacted me. Apparently we knew each other 16 years ago. I'm still trying to figure out in what capacity. I think she was a professor that I had here at the UW. She wrote me with an apology from 16 years ago, saying that at that time I had mentioned something that had come up for me and that she responded defensively. 16 years is a long time, so I really absolutely have no idea, like, what happened. It might have been something. It might not have been something. We might not have actually ever met, but it was a very sincere apology. And it made me feel weird. So I sat on it for a couple of days before I responded. But then I thought about it some more, and I thought, if I wrote somebody after 16 years, I would want a response. So I responded to her and basically just said, you know, we're cool. Like, there's nothing I'm harboring from 16 years ago that needs resolution between us, and be peace. And I'm glad you're on your path and that you're doing this deep forgiveness work or whatever it is that prompted you to contact me. And she wrote me back and said that she honored my request and that I should check my email. And I did. And there was the gift certificate for $100 to Michael. So I was like, oh, score. And then I went to work. And I was thumbing through the roster of girls that I'm about to take to a writer's camp. And one of those girls is her daughter. So we're going to meet.
And I have a feeling this is about more than paint and glitter.
Isn't it always, though? I mean, paint and glitter are just a medium.
So what has this project meant to you? You hesitated, you thought, you asked, you received.
It's meant the beginning of a deeper and longer conversation about a lot of different things and about where we're going from here. There's a problem. People of color are not treated like people still in this country. And that's something that has to change in order for us to move forward. There is an inequity in terms of who has privilege and power and who doesn't. And in order for that to be balanced, white people are going to have to give up some power and privilege. And people of color are also going to have to accept some power and privilege. There's going to be discomfort on both sides. There's going to be resistance on all sides. But the question is, what kind of a world do we want to live in? What kind of a country do we want to live in? What kind of country do we want to leave our children? If we want things to be equitable and balanced, and we want to be in community with one another, we're going to have to learn to give and receive, and we're also going to have to learn how to connect. So for me, this project was about connection more than anything else. It was about having a place to start where at least there's an acknowledgement that there is something wrong, that we are trying to work towards repairing.
And even if you haven't thought about race much at all, there's a grace in giving and asking, and we forget that sometimes.
It's a very simple thing, but it's a simple thing that needs to be practiced in order to be effective.
Seattle artist and teacher Reagan Jackson writes a column for the Seattle Globalist, and she was just sharing her experience with reparations.me. I'm looking at it right now, and there are offers and requests. Offering public speaking coach. Offering web development. Offering transportation and catharsis. Request a decent night's rest. Request faith in humanity restored. I'm just scrolling down. We will tweet out a link right now to Reagan's story at Twitter, at KUOW. Also, we interviewed the creator of the site, reparations.me, Natasha Marin. We will tweet out a link to that conversation with her, too, at KUOW.